Let's take a look now at the first feature for Level 3, a dictum on diction. A dictum, spelled D-I-C-T-U-M, is a formal pronouncement, an official opinion or decree. The plural is dicta, D-I-C-T-A. So here's my dictum on diction. The word diction is often used today to mean vocal expression, specifically one's enunciation, the clarity and distinctness of one's speech. But the traditional meaning of the word, which is still in good standing, refers to one's selection of words with regard to clarity, accuracy, and variety. Your diction is your choice of words, manner of expression. It differs from your vocabulary, which is the entire stock of words you possess. Good diction means using language that is clear, accurate, varied, and apposite. A-P-P-O-S-I-T-E. Apposite means both relevant and appropriate. Poor diction means using a word or phrase in the wrong way or the wrong place, creating an inappropriate or illogical effect. The word irregardless is a classic example of poor diction. Grammarians have railed against this non-standard word for years, but like a hardy cockroach, it continues to crawl out of the illiterate woodwork into the light of conversation, and occasionally into the pages of the newspaper. The proper word is regardless, which means without regard. Adding the privative or negative prefix IR to regardless creates a double negative. Irregardless therefore means not without regard, or more simply, with concern for. Of course, that's just the opposite of what those who use the non-word irregardless intend it to mean. The word peruse, P-E-R-U-S-E, also has become the victim of mounting abuse. Peruse once meant to use up, wear out, for the prefix per, P-E-R, means thoroughly, throughout, through to the end. You can see the prefix per at work in the familiar words perfect, which combines per, thoroughly, with the Latin facere, to make, and perennial, from per, throughout, and the Latin annus, a year. Thus, by derivation, perfect means thoroughly made, and perennial means throughout the year. But let's get back to peruse. In its traditional and still correct sense, peruse is a lovely word that means to read carefully and critically, examine closely, read through to the end. But in recent years, people have begun using peruse to mean skim, browse, dip into, or glance through. Here's a sentence that misuses peruse, which I found in a newspaper story on book collectors. Buying at the rate of 50 books a week has clearly made it impossible for him to read most of his purchases, though he strives at least to peruse each one. Properly, the sentence should read like this. Buying at the rate of 50 books a week has clearly made it impossible for him to peruse most of his purchases, though he strives at least to skim each one. Poor diction is painfully apparent in the trendy substitution of the word reticent for reluctant. We discussed reticent earlier. Do you remember what it means? Not talkative, not disposed to speak one's mind. It's a synonym of taciturn, which you just learned means habitually silent or reserved. Reticent has come to be used by many educated speakers in place of the word reluctant. They say, "I am reticent to talk about it," or "he is reticent to take action." This substitution is a prime example of what I call the sounds-like syndrome, where a fancier word that sounds like a simpler word gradually takes over the simpler word's meaning, and sometimes loses its own specific meaning. The confusion between reticent and reluctant is now so common that some dictionaries list them as synonyms. You should interpret that as recognition of the frequency of the error, rather than as justification for committing it yourself. Don't use reticent when you mean reluctant. You cannot be reticent to do something, or reticent to speak. You can only be reluctant. A reluctant person is hesitant, disinclined, unwilling to do something. A reticent person is reluctant to speak. Another error of diction I am not reluctant to expose is the use of loath for loath. I have heard some of the most prominent broadcasters on radio and TV confuse and mispronounce these words. Loath, L-O-A-T-H, is a strong synonym of reluctant. When you are loath to do or say something, you are reluctant almost to the point of aversion or disgust. The verb to loathe, L-O-A-T-H-E, means to hate, despise. When you loathe something, you find it disgusting or despicable. Have you also noticed the difference in pronunciation? The TH in these words has a different sound. Do not say you are loath to do something. Say you are loath to do it. Last but not least, the words emulate and imitate are frequently confused. To imitate is to follow the example of, take as a model. If you imitate a person, you act the same way that person acts. To emulate means to strive to equal or excel. If you emulate a person, you try to surpass or outdo that person's ability or achievement. Thus, a son may imitate his father's mannerisms, but emulate his skill in driving a car. A painter may imitate a masterpiece or attempt to emulate the master. Your diction is important because it reflects the way you think. In many situations, people judge you on your choice of words. If you loathe ignorance but are loath to learn, you're not going to go very far. To make a favorable impression, you must avoid imitating the poor habits of others and emulate the writers and speakers you admire. And one of the best ways to improve your diction is to read widely and peruse the dictionary. Let's return now to the verbal advantage vocabulary.